The dream of somebody being arrested and being taken away from their family and their children. And it was an interesting dream because the same thing happened several times in my dream, but I got to see it from different people's perspective. And I got to feel the fear and the disappointment that each one of them felt as this dream played out. And especially for the father who was being taken away from his children, the regret that he felt in that moment for not living the life that he knew he should have. And you know, the reality is, God is not mocked. We can't pretend to follow God on Sunday mornings and think that that's going to be enough for ourselves, our wives, and our children. Second Peter 1, 12 through 15 says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." The insinuation is, if I don't continually remind you of these things, I would be negligent. Right? "Though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." It is so important not for us to just know, but to be continually reminded about what we are supposed to be doing, how we are supposed to be living. Because the reality is, the stress of this world is always weighing down on us. And it is purposely trying to conform us into its image. The pressure that we face each and every day is not easy to bear. And so we must constantly be reminded. We must constantly have our focus in on what it is that God wants us to have. What it is that God wants us to do. So this morning I'm going to be talking to the men. Because you guys are the leaders of the home. You guys are the ones that set the attitude. You guys are the ones that bear the responsibility. And it's very important that we have the right thought process when it comes to leading our homes. Having said that, most of what I say will be very applicable to everyone in here. But it is so very important that we men really focus in and understand God's will for our lives and our families. With that said, the first thing we must always remember is that you are the work of God's hands. God created you for a purpose. There isn't a man in here that God said, oops, shouldn't have made that guy. God made each and every one of you for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve God. The purpose of your life is to serve God, first and foremost. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Do you know what God's going to hold you accountable to? Did you fear God? Did you follow His commandments? Did you lead your family according to the ways of God? He actually isn't really going to judge you on how many games you showed up for of your children's games. He's not going to judge you on how many times you missed a payment for a bill. Did you fear God? Not just on Sunday mornings. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's your purpose. That is your job that God has given to you, is to serve Him. Do everything for His glory. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. You are created on purpose, for a purpose, and that purpose is God's glory. Verse 21, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. And Psalms 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let us just review for a moment. We were created for a purpose, and that purpose is not our own personal happiness. Not one guy in this building, in this town, in this state, or in this whole world did God create for their own personal happiness. God is going to ask you to do things that at times are difficult. Maybe even seem impossible. You won't be happy, and that's okay. God didn't create you to be happy. God did not create you for His own glory. I'm sorry, God did not create you for your own glory. He did create you for His own glory. God did not create you for your glory. He did not make you to make a great name for yourself. And I'm guessing you know by now, but I certainly want to point it out that God did not create you for your own pleasure. Yes, that means at times in life, you are going to have to forego pleasure. It's called delayed gratification. It's actually a very good thing to teach your children. It's a very good thing to teach your own heart. God did not create you for your own pleasure. He created you for His glory and His honor and to do His will. We have to remember that we are the creation, not the creator. And though we are the head of our family, we are not the head. Because the head of every man is Christ. And whether you acknowledge Him as your head or not, you will stand in judgment before Him. And it will not be a pleasant experience if you do not acknowledge Him and serve Him. The other thing I want us to remember is that male headship is God's design. He puts you here on earth with a purpose on purpose. He put you in charge of your family because He knew that that's what He wanted. And you might say, well, yeah, but I'm a failure. Well, join the group. We're all failures. There ain't a guy in this room or on this earth, on this planet, that has led their family perfectly. I say that because Jesus, He did not get married. Maybe He was onto something. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and that the head of Christ is God. God puts you as the head, in charge. Genesis 2:18 says, And the Lord God said, It is not good for man that he should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God made woman for man. That was His design. That was His desire. Matthew 19:4 through 6, He answered and said to them, Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And He said, For this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. And therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. You and your wife are not just partners in a journey. You are people that have signed a contract with God. And what God has joined together, we ought not separate. Number two, your family is God's blessing to you. Well, I have a miserable family. Well, maybe that's a reflection of your leadership. Your family is God's blessing for you. Psalms 128, 1 through 4. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you, and your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Your family is God's blessing for you. And He wants to bless you. What should we do in order to experience this blessing? Number one. Well, let's just say number one is what we already covered, that God made you for a purpose and that we need to serve that purpose, okay? So that's number one. Number two, cherish your wife. I mean, really cherish your wife. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 19:14 says, "Houses and riches are an inheritance from the Father, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Your wife is a good thing from the Lord, as long as you established her in the Lord. And you are to cherish her, to love her, to hold her in high regard. She's not somebody for you to use and abuse. She's not somebody to take advantage of. She's not somebody to just dump half of your responsibilities or most of your responsibilities on and say, good luck. Cherish your wife. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife." That was God's design. "As also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Husbands, love your wives. How do we love our wife? By speaking things that are going to be helping to her to be a holy person. What comes out of our mouth should cause her to desire to be a better person. How about condemnation? Will that often lead to holiness? No one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it. We don't have any problem cherishing ourselves. We don't have any problem nourishing ourselves. But what about our partner that God gave to us? Are we nourishing them? Are we giving them what they need for life and for growth so that they can become a better, more holy person? Are we leading them? Are we setting an example for them? Are we giving them time that they need for their own personal growth? Are we directing their thoughts and helping them understand what's going on in their life? Proverbs 5:18 says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth." Cherish your wife. That's number two. And number three, value your children. Psalms 127:1-3 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Your children are a reward from God. They're a gift to you to value, to invest in, to lead and to guide and to help. And unless you do that according to God's principles, unless He's leading you and you're following Him, then everything that comes behind you is going to be a disaster. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That's us. Men. Wives. If you're not following Jesus, you're wasting your time. It's not going to end well either way. You can win the lottery and it's not going to solve your problems. Ephesians 6:4, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Our number one responsibility is to make sure that we are following Christ. Our number two responsibility is to make sure that our family is behind us, also following Christ. And the last point that I want to make is that your ministry to your family, to your wife and to your children, is part of your worship to God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, you were put here on earth to worship God, to give Him praise, to honor Him. And part of your worship, part of your daily sacrifice, part of the way that you are supposed to live your life before God is to minister to your family. He gave them to you for that purpose. Your ministry to your family is part of your worship to God. A good family is a great blessing. We read the first part of Psalms 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, and behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is the reward. The second half is, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They're secure. They're blessed. God is at the head of the family, and He has put a hedge of protection around them. What did Satan say to God about Job? You have put a hedge of protection around him. I cannot touch him. Fathers, that's your responsibility. To put a spiritual hedge of protection around your family. To lead them. To guide them, to help them. Failure in leadership has spiritual consequences. Your failure to lead your family, yes, it will cause you more stress. Yes, it will lead to your frustration, but it will also cut you off from God. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wife, with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What does that mean? If you don't dwell with your wife with understanding, if you don't honor her, encourage her, help her, your prayers are going to be hindered. And that understanding is two-way. It's not just, okay, let me just say this. One, first of all, you do have a responsibility to make sure that your wife understands you. Okay? It's your responsibility to make sure your wife understands you. I remember when I was in school, my teacher for our ACT prep class, he didn't teach us much about the ACT. He said, if you don't know it now, you're not going to get it in the next 6 weeks. So instead, he took the whole time of the ACT prep class and taught us what he had learned about life. And one of the things he taught us is, it's the communicator's job to check for understanding. If I get up here and I say something, and you all go home, and none of you understand what I said, that's my fault. That's not your fault, that's my fault, because I didn't explain it in a way that you could understand it. The husband's job is to make sure that his wife understands his goal, his desire. Okay? But the other job that the husband has, which is just as important, is to work to understand your wife and what she's going through. Where are you at today, wife? What are you going through? How can I help you? What battles are you fighting that I might not be aware of? Dwell with your wives with understanding. And give honor to them as to the weaker vessel. This is a precious possession that God has placed in your hand. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand what God's trying to do in your life. And your prayers are going to be hindered. Malachi 2:14 through 16 says, yet you say, for what reason? Why is God angry with us? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. And yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. This is not just me against her. God has a place in this, and he has something to say about it. And he's not very happy with the man who's not treating his wife with respect. Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, and yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Because he seeks godly offspring. God puts you two together for a purpose, to raise up children who are godly. And when your children aren't godly, God ain't happy. And if God ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, men, fathers, husbands. Take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one garment, it covers one's garment with violence. To take your wife that God has united you together with and to cut it in half. God hates divorce, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your own spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Your ministry is part of your worship to God, and your failure in leadership has spiritual consequences. God is going to judge you for how you treat your wife. Proverbs 5:18 through 23 says, "Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer, as a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured with an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin, and he shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." God is watching you. He is paying attention to what you are doing. He is looking at you as you lead your family, as you interact with your wife. And let me tell you something, he wants to bless you. He wants you to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. He wants to bring great blessing to you. But you have got to learn to control yourself. You have got to learn to lay down your desires and to serve God. The bad news is you're also married to a sinner. And she's got her own problems, and they're not few. But if you want God's blessing in your life, you've got to cherish your wife, the one you got, not the one you want. You got to learn to rejoice with her, to allow her to satisfy you at all times. Don't be going out and looking for something else. Be enraptured with her love. Be a blessing to her. Not so that she will be a blessing to you, but so that God will look down from heaven and he will bless you. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, that was a message I needed to hear this morning. As a father who loves his wife and loves his children, I am too often distracted from the greatest ministry that God has put me on this earth to accomplish. That is the ministry to my wife and family. Lord, I pray that if there's a guy here this morning that says he was not speaking to me, you would humble that man. He has no idea what he's talking about. If there's a man here who says, that message was made just for me, I pray, Lord, that you would know, that I would know your grace, your love, and your great desire to comfort us, to encourage us, to restore us as men. You've not given up on us, but you want us to rise up. You want us to take a stand for you. It's not easy in this world. It might not even be easy with the wife that we have. But that's what we're called to do. To first and foremost, fulfill our role and responsibility as a created being, to love you, to praise you, to worship you, to honor you, and to obey you. Our wife's not going to stand in judgment for our behavior. The people at work are not going to stand in judgment for our behavior. It's going to be me and you. And thankfully, Christ has paved the way for reconciliation. And all those who are willing to walk down it can be reconciled, can be restored, and can be blessed. But who will stand? Who will stand? I will stand with your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand for our last song, which is 542.
Is in you, Lord, my hope is in you.